I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel. And the gospel for our All Saints Sunday is Jesus' Beatitudes from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O Holy God, we thank you for this day that you've called us together, that you've called us to remember the saints who have gone before, to hear your holy word, and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in our midst, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Did you ever get a song stuck in your head and you just can't get rid of it? It just stays there. It's affectionately known as an earworm. I don't like to think of it as an earworm, but those earworms just kind of stay with us. Usually for me, those earworms are hymns, and I'll find myself humming or singing one of the stanzas from a great hymn. But lately, I've been spending a lot of time in the car, and in the car, I've been listening to Hamilton, the musical. It's a great musical. It's wonderful. And so those songs have gotten stuck in my head. Songs like Stay Alive, Not Going to Lose My Shot. This morning, I woke up to the King of England singing You'll Want to Come Back. You'll want to come back. And now, if you don't know the musical, probably that doesn't make any sense to you, but that song is now stuck in my head, and it's wandering around in there. But as I was listening to this musical, especially the afterword, the last song really has resonated with me. And the line in that song is, "Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?" Now, if you don't know this musical, it's about our founding father in Adam Hamilton. And Adam Hamilton was quite an adventurous person. He started from very humble beginnings. He was rebellious. He was driven. He became our first Secretary of the Treasury. He started the National Bank in New York City. He started the New York Post. He wrote 51 of the 85 Federalist Papers that supported the new nation and the Constitution. But in this musical, we really get to see not just the accomplishments of the man Hamilton, but we get to see the person of Hamilton. And throughout the musical, these themes are woven through: the theme of ambition, of power, of course, politics, intrigue and scandal, love and forgiveness, but especially a sense of history and legacy. History and legacy. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who created Hamilton, says this about that afterword. "For two centuries, Hamilton's role as a founding father has been clouded in obscurity by many factors. His dying early and in a sensational way, in a duel he was murdered by Adam Burr. His awkward social position as an immigrant outsider to the colonies, his political enemies outliving him and purposefully minimizing his work. The fact that the work is so dense and complex as to be unintelligible to the layperson. However, time proved him right. And history has come to appreciate him more and more as we continue to feel the effects and in turn rediscover the details of his life and work. In that afterword, his wife Eliza comes back into the story after Hamilton has died, and she sings the afterword, and that's where you hear that lyric, "Who lives, who dies, who writes our story, who tells your story." Also in this musical, there's a spot where the question is asked, what is a legacy? What is a legacy? And the response is that it's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. I wrote some notes at the beginning of a song someone will sing for me. A legacy is something that we do that lives on beyond us, that lives beyond us. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story. This morning we celebrate All Saints Day. And of course, we remember that great cloud of witness that has gone before us, that continues to watch over us, that communion of the saints who are always with us. In the reading that Jean had this morning from Revelation, we are reminded that those saints around the throne of God are a great multitude, too many to number, from every nation, from every tribe, from every family on earth. Those who have believed in Jesus and believed in God are there in comfort and security around the throne of God. Jesus himself continues to shepherd them. God provides them for those who hunger, for those who are thirsty, for those who need shelter. God provides all of that. The scripture tells us that Jesus, as a shepherd, continues to lead the saints. Nothing has stopped, except for those who have been martyred, those who have struggled, those who have had difficulties on earth. They now have found comfort, comfort in the Lord. Those words from Revelation, even though they are a glimpse of the afterworld, they also are assurance for us that our loved ones have found comfort, and that in turn should comfort us. God truly will wipe away all their tears. There will no longer be pain or sorrow or suffering. It is a place of praise and song and joy, a place where the saints have found a home. We usually think of the saints as not physically present here with us. We don't often consider ourselves saints. But even those people that have gone before us are not physically present sitting with us or in our families or any longer really in our homes, they do continue with us. They continue with us in a variety of ways. And they especially continue with us as we think about who they were and as we tell their stories. We don't forget them. We continue to remember them day in and day out. And part of the legacy that they have left is how they have shaped us, those who are left behind, how they have shaped us. And that legacy then should be, how do we shape others? How do we help others to know God? How do we help others to know Jesus Christ? How do we help others to know the story of all God has done for us through Jesus Christ? We are coming to the end of our church-wide study, God's Chisel, Becoming God's Masterpiece. And we are reminded that God doesn't make junk. God makes people in his image. God asks us to be a reflection of who he is, that we might have the mind of Christ, and that our life story might embody God's will. We've looked at all the ways that God needs to help us to be that, to fulfill that calling, to be God's masterpiece. In Matthew's gospel this morning, we are reminded again that God doesn't make junk. There are people who the world might not see as those who are blessed, but Jesus did. In God's kingdom, people that were excluded by the world and by what was considered successful by the world were blessed, not only included, but blessed. Jesus turns upside down the conventional thought about who is blessed in God's kingdom. We usually think of the blessed as those who are healthy or wealthy, successful, those who have it all together, those with no complaints, no pains, no sorrows. But Jesus says, no, it's not just those who are blessed. It's the poor, the humble, the mournful, the gentle, the trusting, the persecuted. Those are the folks who are also blessed. Jesus turns thinking upside down. Those who we might exclude are the ones that God himself calls blessed. Now, perhaps the reason that they are called blessed is because they don't follow a model of worldly success, but they seek after God, and they seek after God's grace. They need God's presence. They need God's love, perhaps more than some who we see as blessed and successful. God has never forgotten them. In fact, God has a special place for all of them. Too often when we hear those Beatitudes, that word blessed, sometimes in our mind is translated happy. But another translation for that word is to find the right road. To find the right road. Perhaps those who are least expected to be blessed have found the right road. They have found the way that God would have them to go, and they are willing to travel it. These Beatitudes have called the disciples throughout the ages to make a discovery about ourselves and perhaps change our attitude about what we see as blessed, and also to give us new and concrete steps for faithfulness. Perhaps we need to think about who God has called and what is their legacy for us. We truly have the opportunity to tell the story of those who have gone before us, but we also have the opportunity today to shape our own stories. We have the opportunity to find and to travel the right road and to leave behind a legacy. What will be remembered about you? What story will be told about you? In the last chapter of this book, God's Chisel, the authors invite us to write our own personal manifesto. I would prefer to call it a creed. What is it that we believe? What it is that has shaped us? What do we hope that we can do with what God has given us? In their book, they offer some suggestions as to how best think about that creed. What are the most important things to you? How do you want others to think about you? When you leave the room, what do you want other people to say about you? When your friends remember you, what's the first thing you want popping into their minds? What are your gifts and talents, and how are you using them? In what ways is it time to start using your gifts and talents? And what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do with your life? And I would add, if you were given the gift of time, if you were given the gift of time, what would you want to achieve? What would you want your legacy to be? In the musical Hamilton, Hamilton himself is described as writing like he was running out of time. Writing like he was running out of time. And he was. He died young. But he wasn't the only one running out of time. All of us are running out of time. No one of us sitting here today knows how much time we have left. And when we think about tragic events that end folks' lives too soon, like the massacre in Las Vegas or the being run down on a bike path in New York City, none of us know what time we have. But we do know that we are called to make the best use of our time. Another great line from the musical is that death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. Death will come to each and every one of us, and our time on earth will run out. But what do we do with the time that we have left? What do we do with the time God has given us? Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? What will your legacy be? Amen.